I'll stand here in proximity to this chair in this dervish robe. We welcome you to come and share in this living baraka, which is here. Merchant felt his energy was in this chair. I know his energy is in this robe. And we're here 34 years after he left his body on this day. And, you know, we're here because he didn't die. Because if he died, then, nobody would be here or all over the world celebrating this life that goes on. He was asked, he was captured on film right before his passing, what do you want to do before you die? And he laughed. And he said, that's a very funny question to ask a person who has an experience of immortality direct. And then he laughed again. And then he answered in relative terms, saying, I'd like a few of my disciples to become illuminated. And I said, well, how would you know that? And he said, well, it's an actual light, actually shining. You know, he didn't beat around the bush, and he didn't hold back. He lived in the divine being. So it's very appropriate that when we celebrate his life, we come here and we say the name of God over and over again in different ways from different traditions and different, whether we call it Buddha or God or whatever we call it, we live and move and have our being in it. God is more real than these ideas that we have of ourselves. Our breath is more real than this ego idea that we have of ourselves. Merchant said, Shahabuddin Less, who was deeply impressed by Merchant, told a story a few months ago where when we were together. He said, well, when Sam stayed with me in my apartment in New York, he said, one of the things he said to me was, go through your Bible, and everywhere it says God, strike it out and write breath. You know, I mean, we get caught in the world of concepts. And the idea is to make God a reality. Be ye songs of glory. And what you sing, you are. Everyone is a note in this divine symphony. You've got to strike your own note. It's not enough to sit here and say, oh, he was wonderful. I mean, then you're still in separation. As he says in one of his poems, the watcher is the prayerful devotee, but the dancer becomes divine. And we want to be divine dancers. We want to move in that joy of the divine presence like he did. That way we honor him. Not by, making him out to be, the great saint or master that he was or is. You know, that doesn't help us. We're very grateful that he's touched our lives. I mean, he's touched our lives and he's touched the lives of so many beings that this is just a wonderful thing. It's more than a human being can do. It's what God does when God is allowed to be. When he laughed and said, that's a very funny question to ask a person who has an experience of immortality direct. That's not so different from what Joe Miller used to say. This is the key to eternity. Yes, this is the key to eternity. The words and the music and the melody make us one. So you can see that you immortal are, and you have but to be. And that means to be, that you really are immortal, that there is no separation between you and the immortal. So if we're going to take this baraka, this living transmission that we were so fortunate to be touched by, and which still comes up to people in dreams and visions through The dancer Shabd is now in Australia. He's going to New Zealand after that, and then India. These dancers have traveled all over the world. I was in Germany last summer, and people were coming from Russia, driving for 48 hours nonstop on a bus from Russia to come to this gathering. And I was really moved by this penetration of this blessing. And it's because it's a living presence of the divine joy. It's in the music, it's in the dance, it's in the beings. It's not in worshiping an individual who would be the first one to say he never even existed anyway. God is the only existing reality. We live and move and have our being in God. And this is what Sam Lewis brought forward, because he wasn't afraid of it. He didn't hold back from it. He let his light shine in the darkest of times because he knew the light would turn. He knew that the generations were coming that would embrace this mystical teaching that God is the only reality, that the soul is nothing but that reality in its depth. It's just covered over by layers and stains and rust. And then as people rise to that reality, then the world itself, even the outer world, will be transformed. But we're in a great period of test and trial and transition, and our relationship with nature is one that we have to look at very deeply, because we've made it so artificial, and psyches are so out of balance that the natural world is responding to us in that way too. We have to bring our own everything is within us. All of the elements are within us. The earth is within us, the water, the fire, the air, and the ether, which brings the peace to all of it if we can bring it in. It's in our breath. It's in our meditation. We aren't living here in some dualistic reality where we are man and nature or some such abstraction. There's nothing but this oneness that we participate in. And yes, it goes through its flux and the light comes forward insofar as we can be the agents of it and the transformers in our own sphere to stand up for the light, to stand up for this joy within the context of our lives, not to be afraid of. And if we can gain anything from the life of this incredible being, it is to do just that, not to be afraid of living in God, not to be afraid of knowing that the spirit of guidance is close, that as Muhammad said, it's closer than the jugular vein. We live and move and have our being in it. We're going around like the fish saying, where's the ocean? Where's the ocean? And that's our relationship to God. We don't know it because it's so close. We breathe it in. It comes in through our gills. I mean, we have no separation from it, and yet we make a separation out of our fear. So what does a great teacher do? He or she brings this piercing glance that cuts through fear and ignorance, brings a consoling to our hearts so that we're not afraid to live from our heart. And all of that is what, I'd like to just stand here and remind people of and encourage us to do, because, Sam Lewis did it, so you can do it. And he didn't make himself out to be special, like Aladdin said, he would talk to everyone from an inner place of oneness, accepting them just the way they were, and it didn't matter whether it was the head of some spiritual order or a clerk at the dented can store. It was his reality was just the same. I remember being in this dented can store. We went to buy peas for his curry, and the guy was a very roomy-eyed, very bleary, probably been drinking for days. It was a very dingy atmosphere. And Sam came in there, and we got to the checkout stand, and he looked at him, and he says, I'm going to the World's Conference of Religions in Geneva, and you know what I'm going to tell them? Not this loving one another, they're not ready for it. He said, but at least you can respect each other. Respect each other. And the guy, Sam wasn't disappointed. He came through. That was the person. That was the image of God that was in front of him. He gave it. And so then we very happily walked on back to the Metro Gardens with our dental can. And that's where I mean, we don't need to worry about, who it is. Are they higher than us, lower than us? Are they ignorant or wise? God is hiding behind every face. We can't escape from that reality. If we live from it, then we find that we have all of the universe working with us and through us. And consequently, what seems impossible when you think that you might accomplish it, might move through you with the divine will and power. And this is where, we were there when these dances were born in the basement of the Menta Garden. And he knew they were going to go all around the world, not because he was great or it was, but because he could feel the blessing of God was behind them. And they were going to be a force for bringing harmony between people because they had no agenda. They weren't asking you to join something. They weren't asking you to believe something. They were just saying, come, dance together, take sacred phrases, acknowledge and respect everyone who had, because God has come to every people in a form that they could recognize. And that's what Muhammad said, that everyone has received this message in some form, in their culture, in their own way. And so if we can respect that, and people then will understand that you respect their culture. It's not, I'm coming here to save you. I'm bringing Allah or Jesus or Buddha to you because you're poor, you don't have it. Everybody's God. We were born with it. It lives in our breath. Someone wants to ask Sam, is so-and-so speaking about a very questionable spiritual leader, is he spiritual? And Sam said, is he breathing? Everybody's spiritual. The spirit moves in us. It moves through us. We are a part of it. Yes, it is possible to act in such a way that we are coarse in our vibration. We let the rust on our heart. We turn the love, which is our true nature, into hate out of our own pain and disappointment. But underneath it, if we can see deeply, we can see that same beauty which is hidden within every soul. And so that's the, I'm glad to have an opportunity to come here and just to say this much to this group of people that came, because in some way your lives have been touched by this man, Merchant Samuel Lewis, who lived in God and would like nothing better than for you to wake up. Not for you to honor him, but for you to wake up to your own true reality and live it according to the note of your own life. So I want to thank you and say God bless you. Let's do some more dancing. We welcome you to come up here at some point before the evening's over and, just accept the blessing of sitting in this atmosphere with this robe and this chair. So shall we push the chairs back and...
Divine dancers all.